Distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else.
But you.
That's why no one will remember your name.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman, man.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. And thank you for tuning in to another wonderful episode of the Couch Sports Podcast. I am your host, David M. Allen. That is the great Terrell Barron. We're on episode 34, goddammit. Hakeem Olajuwon style. I will block
Ray
your
Allen.
Ass. Hey, Walter Allen. Payton.
Giannis.
Shaq.
I wonder if the Bucks, if they should honor Ray Allen by retiring his jersey, Giannis would have to get a new number.
That would be true, but they probably wouldn't. They probably wouldn't. Now, do you think the Thunder... Since they had to, no, because the Thunder has their own records.
Yeah, all of the Seattle Supersonics records
stayed
are
in
expired.
Seattle. Okay, so never mind. I apologize. Before people start, hey, you know,
poor Supersonics. I was just actually watching a Free Dawkins highlight of it was Ray Allen versus LeBron for the first time, and Ray Allen went off for 27. LeBron had 34, and. Man, like player, just seeing miscellaneous players like Ira Newbold, Jeff McGinnis, Luke Rittenauer. Luke was solid, though. I love Luke Rittenauer.
Ira Newbold reference? Only on the Couch Sports podcast.
Ira.
You know what? Ray Allen was a great, great player. And this is way before he became just a spot-up shooter. And way before he was just that guy on the Miami Heat. I mean, he used to dunk on people. I mean, he was pulling up fadeaway threes before Steph Curry was even thought of. You know, it was he was the man around the NBA, man.
Right.
He was, if Reggie Miller was athletic, that's what that would have been.
Ray Allen, like, I remember seeing a commercial when he got traded to Seattle and, you know, he was dribbling and he was like, I want to be more popular in Seattle than Starbucks coffee. Like, that city really loved Ray Allen. I used to love that team with him and Rashard Lewis and Luke Rittenauer. You know, that was...
Oh, they were super underrated, man.
That was a fucking team, man.
Yeah, and that's when Rashard still played with sense. I mean, he was firing threes, but he still did what it took to make sure he scored. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't no bullshit. Like, let me just keep shooting threes for no reason. But he faded off into the abyss. Ray kept going, though. They took two different, you know, paths. So.
Yeah. Ray Allen could still play, right? Especially in this three happy. And by the way, good article this morning, The Curry Effect. Ray Allen could definitely come back and average 20. It's so easy. This is a shooter's dream to be in the NBA right now because all you have to do is shoot. You don't even have to play defense.
Yeah, you don't. Hell no, you don't have to play defense. I got people over here arguing with me about how Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is the Pistons' best defender.
Get the fuck out of here.
And that's why he should be paid. He doesn't even play defense. What are we talking about?
It's funny because on HoopsHype.com, Stan Van Gundy was interviewed. I don't know if he was interviewed by Hoops Hype or maybe Hoops Hype is like kind of paraphrasing another interview, but Stan said, Staniel.
Staniel.
What's Staniel?
Stan Van Jeremy.
Staniel said that he is not, that no team is calling the Pistons for trades or any of the sorts. I don't know if this is a
his poker face.
First of all, Stan Van Gundy doesn't lie, so
no.
It could be a poker face, right?
Yeah, maybe, but most GMs or presidents of basketball operations, sometimes they, when it's time for a trade, they always say shit like this. So I'm not exactly, I don't want to say he's lying. I'm not going to say he's a liar. And I'm not, because I like Stan. I like Staniel. But all GMs and people in control of rosters always say things like this before a big shakeup comes. But you never know. Because I also read this morning where he said, mm-hmm. He's seen his team win before.
I was just about to say that. So I think he likes it when they win the way that they're supposed to, the brand of basketball that he teaches them. I think he feels like a proud kind of father. But it's
I can see that, but he also has to adapt to this new age NBA just like we do.
I refuse to adapt.
No, I understand, but if we want to continue to watch the sport that we love and cover the sport that we love, I mean, it is what it is.
That is true, but at the same time, we look for nuances of the game. I look for Steven Adams setting that hard screen. I look for Andre Drummond having a point guard pinned down on the weak side block calling for the ball. I look for those little intangible fundamental things that wins you basketball games. I look for traps. I look for, you know, back screens and possible back doors. Like, it's you still can predict the plays before the plays can happen. It's just if the personnel can see it. Reggie Jackson, for instance, he cannot see the game developing as it goes along. He does not know what the fuck to do.
That he doesn't.
He's just out there. He's just an athletic short shooting guard out there playing basketball. That's all it is.
Yeah, and for the most part, he's pretty much emulating what the rest of the league is doing. It's a bunch of shot chucking point guards, and that's all they ever do, and nobody really passes anymore. You have big men out here, Draymond, LeBron, who's another big man that probably gets more assists on his team than a freaking point guard?
Shit, almost Miles Plumlee.
Right. Mason Plumlee. Right. Probably Giannis. You know what I mean? Like, this is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we are, and it is frustrating, and I guess roles are switching, so maybe, and I think it pains me because when I first started watching the NBA, I fell in love with the point guard position. So I think maybe where my frustration lies is that point guard position, that pass first, you know, floor general that I grew up loving is borderline extinct. So maybe I need to start caring about small forwards, you know?
Well, it's like what your article said. Look at the efficiency that LeBron, like when he shoots threes, he only takes 4 threes a game. He's not volume shooting.
Right.
And those aren't, I've seen LeBron pull up from like Steph Curry range or do like an ill-advised fadeaway. But
he doesn't keep doing it. If he misses one or two, if he misses like two in a row, if they're not winning big, because if they're winning big, he might do it again just to say, God damn it, I know I can hit this. But if it's like close and the game is on the line, or is this shit a serious, he ain't doing that shit no more. He might even do it once and say, hell no.
Right. I like the thing, the interesting stat on that list, though. Frank Kaminsky III is 29% from the three right now, and he's still shooting. How are we in an age of basketball where a bench player can shoot 29% from the three and you're not a 3-point shooter?
Right. Right.
That's my biggest gripe right there. It's like, I get the guys like Eric Gordon and Wesley Matthews who are volume shooters. They're going to take their 8, 9, 10 threes a game and make 3 or 4. Coaches live by that. That's the premise of your article. But that's the problem with this whole volume shooting 3-point era that we're in, because you have guys like Frank Kaminsky who was just firing. Why? You're going to be a like 29%?
I feel like that's not even what he came in to do.
Right.
I feel like that's not why he was drafted. So I think that's where the frustration lies. Like, who do you think you are? You're not Hulk Hogan.
You're not Hulk Hogan. Look it up too, people.
I think that's where the frustration lies, because it's people like
that's my frustrating.
And he's shooting what, like 37%? Not even that, barely, probably. I don't remember what it was, but it was terrible.
Know your role and shut your mouth.
Right.
That's the problem in today's NBA. Nobody is doing that. Nobody is knowing their role and shutting their mouth pretty much. You know, everybody has, like, Basketball Greatness is one of our followers, and he made a great article the other day. I don't know if it's a he. It could be a she, but it's, you know, just Basketball Greatness. The problem with today's NBA, let's take everything out that we hate so much about the game. Let's go to something I just mentioned about Frank Kaminsky shooting three. You're a role player.
Right.
And what translates into role players is, now you have role players bitching towards the ref. You have role players trying to do windmill dunks when they're down 20 points a game. You know, you have role players like overtly celebrating on the bench. You have role players showing bad sport. It's like, that's the biggest problem. Because they, you know, it's just like baseball. When everybody was juicing in baseball, of course, role players and B-, C-plus players are going to do it as well. They just didn't get caught.
Yeah, because they weren't the big name. But here's the deal with the NBA and role players.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people pretend like they aren't role players. They always feel like they're a couple of threes away or a couple of big plays away
mm-hmm.
from being a star.
Yes, I agree.
It's like
that.
It's a bunch of people running around coming off the bench that are in denial. And I think that's where the problem lies. No, you know, it is. I get it. It's the social media era.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone tends to feel like, you know, if I do this, you know, I'll be all over Twitter. I'll be all over, you know, the gram. I'll be all over YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem right now. Everybody thinks they're one, you know, one step away from going viral and being the man. Yeah. And now let's see what they do. Like, nobody's coming here to see you.
Exactly. You know, it's mind-boggling to me, because it's like everything about this is just mind-boggling. I really can't stand it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if we're going to have all these highlights, then why not make it an equivalency factor? Why not you highlight the eighth man who's working his way up, you know, from being a rotation player to, you know, get into the starting lineup of actually being an impactful player off the bench? That's the problem. Like all these Instagram and Bleacher Report pundits, they don't highlight that stuff. I just went on Bleacher Report this morning. The first seven things was about LeBron's 32nd birthday today. And I'm just like,
I seen that, okay. And I got right off. And the cold part is, I don't usually get on their site that much. So today when I said, okay, let me see what's going on, because yesterday was a slow news day.
Right.
Let me see what's going on in the world. Happy 32nd birthday. All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was more LeBron, and then more LeBron, and then more LeBron. Like, we don't get enough LeBron every day as it is.
Exactly, and that's the problem.
What they don't realize they're doing is they're kind of alienating people who are on a fence about LeBron, or, and I grant it, to LeBron stands, I should say, they don't give a shit, and they expect people on the fence. Like, they look at people on the fence like, well, why are you on the fence? This dude is the greatest, you know? But
exactly.
For the rest of us, it's like, well, I'm tired of looking at this dude every day. It's like you're trying to force feed me this dude. You have been since he was 16 years old. So for the past 16 years, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to respect somebody that you otherwise would respect when people are acting like he's the only dude in the NBA.
It's like when the media was pushing Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Giannis, and Iman Shumpert. And I was like, you have to wait for these players to get good. Out of those four guys I just mentioned, one of them is just a regular NBA player, and it was Iman Shumpert. And I remember before Iman Shumpert tore his ACL, because it was around the same time Derrick Rose tore his, you know, everybody was talking about how great he's going to be, this, this, and that. And I'm just like, I don't see it. Oh, you're a hater. You're this, you're this, you're that. And
right. Now they make fun of his man bun and make fun of him being a sidekick and all this other.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like, all right, when are people going to realize that people like us know what we're talking about? Or how about, even if you feel like we don't know what we're talking about, you just let us have our opinion, kind of like you feel like you get to have your opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody's a hater, and we move on with our lives without having to argue and do all this extra.
Well, that's the thing, because some people are so convinced. I just don't get how you can be convinced when it comes to subjective topics or subjective. You don't have all the facts.
Right.
I really don't understand that. And that's like where we are. Like, if one or two people say something about something, then that's the gospel then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's more so frustrating than anything. It's just hard talking to people about sports sometimes. But it's all good though, man. But yeah. Hey, I want to ask you this. So from now on, well, I don't want to say from now on, but for the foreseeable future, that sounds better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fans, players, and media pundits.
Mm-hmm.
Get to split all-star votes. I'm assuming for the starters. What do you think about that?
It's good that so basically it's fans, players, it's in thirds then, correct? It's going to be 33% all the way, pretty much.
Yeah, they were trying to they were trying to act like it was in fourths, but they didn't name a fourth category, so yeah, in thirds.
It's going to be the same outcome.
Think so?
I mean, it's
because the media act like fans and stands them themselves. So I guess so. But I thought the players voting would kind of throw a monkey wrench in things.
Well, here's the thing. There's an unlimited amount of fans because we can vote. You know, you can vote as many times as you want. I think now you can vote like three times a day until the ballot closes. Is it going to be the same for the players and the coaches and
the
media?
Three times a day?
Yeah, because you're
an
NBA fan.
Who's going to actually do that? Who are these people?
That's how it's always been. It used to be like you vote as many times as you want to. That's how Yao Ming would always be the leading vote getter because people just stuff, you know.
I feel like I would vote once and then maybe like today and then – if I think about it, like, right before the polls close in, like, late January, I might do it again because I might have, you know, forgot that I did it or something.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I actually want to talk about All-Star predictions. And if you don't mind, I did some research on who we thought our voters. Well, you never did your reserves, but I wanted
I did,
to know.
I wanted to wait until we got close.
Okay, so you're going to release your reserves pretty soon then.
Yeah, like mid-January.
Okay,
because I feel like it was too soon.
Yeah, because I really... Okay, so for our all-star starters for the West, we both agreed that Anthony Davis will be the starting center. Does that still stand?
Yes, because I don't...
Yeah,
off the top of my head, I don't see anybody who's going to... Yeah.
Okay. For the starting power forward, you put Boogie, I put Blake Griffin. Obviously, Blake Griffin is not going to start the All-Star game because he's injured.
So that's wrong for
Boogie. So I am going to move Boogie to that spot. Okay, so we both agree that that is Boogie. All right?
Yeah.
Small forward, KD. We both agree KD. There's hands down. And for shooting guard, we both have James Harden. And for point guard, we both have Steph. Now...
Even though Steph's catching some heat, he's a villain all of a sudden. But yeah, that still stands.
Is there a chance Westbrook starts over Steph?
There is a chance because Westbrook has momentum as far as the people who hate Steph Curry right now.
Yeah.
And the only reason they hate him is, you know what? But it is true what they say. If you don't have haters, you ain't popping. It is what it is.
So we're not popping it because everybody fucking loves us right now.
right. We need more people to say, fuck them.
Right. And not these fucking, you know, like, oh, I collect, you know, seashells. I'm going to follow the couchsports.com. Why are you following us if you're not listening to us, reading articles, or paying attention? Like, what is it? Like, you're collecting seashells by the shore? Dude, like, what the hell? We're an acquired taste. Oh, man. Okay, so we agreed that Westbrook's going to be the starting point.
Yeah. No, okay, no. I'm still going with Steph, but I think there is a chance Westbrook could sneak in there.
I think Westbrook's going to start because there's no way. I mean, what besides breaking an NBA 3-point record, what has Steph really? I'm not saying he's done a lot, but
he hasn't done shit this year. But
in the media's eyes, in the fuckboys' eyes, what has he done? Oh well, he has KD. He's supposed to be doing that. You know, everybody's talking about refs.
Ain't that about a bitch?
Exactly.
Yes, KD, he's supposed to be doing that. Okay, well, what about the other years you hated him so much?
Yeah. I digress, though. Okay, for the East, for our starters, we both have Andre Drummond as the starting center. I am changing
unless,
that. There's...
Unless Frank Kaminsky could come out the woodwork.
And raise that whopping 29% three-point shooting to, let's say, 31.1, then he has a chance. My starting center, and I will be changing this on the couchsports.com, it's going to be Hassan Whiteside. I already see it coming. Yeah, they love Hassan Whiteside.
You're fucking idiots.
They love him over... It's either going to be him or Kristaps, or...
Kristaps might run the three. He's eligible to play the three. Nah, because then you have goddamn Carmelo. So, okay, I see what you're saying. No, well, Kristaps going to have to come off the bench.
Here's the thing, though. Have the it's three forwards and two guards. It's no longer, you know, the center position isn't still on the ballot, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so in that case, how about this? We do three forwards. We do Giannis, Melo, and LeBron with Wade and Kyrie.
Let me tell you something. If Giannis doesn't make the All-Star game, man, I might boycott this shit. I won't be able to handle this shit, man. I can't.
It's just going to be – I mean, that's the thing. It's just making it to the game because all it's going to be is a whole bunch of, like,
alley-oops and shit anyway. I get it.
You know, and nobody plays defense. But here's the thing. On my snubs, I said Giannis was going to be a snub. This year, just off the simple fact, because people do not know who Giannis is. But now, and remember, I did this prediction a month ago.
Who are you people who don't know who Giannis is? What are you watching?
Well, it's the people that aren't like us. That's the thing.
Okay, I get that, but he's on television now. You can't avoid Giannis. Like, you can't.
He's Stretch Armstrong. He's the black Stretch Armstrong.
Let me meet somebody who doesn't know who Giannis is.
Oh, there's plenty of people. There's plenty of people.
You have to live under a rock to know who Giannis Antetokounmpo is.
It's like us if we was to watch hockey or some shit like that or something or soccer.
Okay. And we don't. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then you have to admit that you're a casual fan. You can't say that you're a fan of basketball or you love basketball or you love the NBA. You can't. You can't say you follow the NBA or any of that if you don't know who Giannis Antetokounmpo is.
Thank you.
You can't. You're officially banned from at least from talking to me.
I'll give him a suspension. So for your East starters, you originally had Drummond, LeBron, Paul George, Dwayne, and Kyrie. I had Drummond, Carmelo, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Kyrie. So our starters are pretty much the same, except for I have Melo starting. You have Paul George starting. Originally, this is according to our predictions. Now, you know, that's going to change, obviously. But, yeah, I will be updating these pretty soon, and we would like to hear your feedback on who you guys think is going to make the All-Star teams and everything. Do you have any participants for the dunk contest who you would like to see?
I have two. Larry Nance, but I'm not sure how long his knee injury is going to keep him sidelined. But I would love to see Larry Nance in it. I would love to see Andrew Wiggins quit playing with the game and step up. Maybe Archie Goodwin or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I can think of off the top of my head.
Gerald Green is too, he's been in three dunk contests, but man, a guy can jump. Gerald Green, Terrence Ross, if they still want to enter it, Larry Nance, Jonathan Simmons from the Spurs, he got some ups. Who else wouldn't I mind see? You know who can dunk pretty, like who has some awesome warm-up dunks that are dunk contest worthy? I know he wouldn't win, but DeAndre Jordan, I was watching some of his clips of him dunking. He did like a reverse cradle jam that I've never seen before. I was like, oh, shit.
You know what? And I'll be honest here. I hate honest when big men enter the dunk contest. I really hate it. When Jonathan Bender did it, when Stormile Swift did it. I even hated it when Dwight Howard did it. But if DeAndre freaking Jordan.
Andre Drummond, I hate it when he did.
Oh, when he. I was horrified. I was upset. I was more upset when Harrison Barnes entered. But. But oh if DeAndre God, Jordan that's... enters, I'm watching. Because that is the most athletic center I've ever seen in my life. You shouldn't have a 40-inch vertical when you're 7 feet. That shit doesn't make sense.
He got posterized. I've never seen him get posterized. Somebody got him a few weeks ago. I was like, oh, damn.
You deserve that karma. But guess what? He's dunked and victimized on so many people.
You know who finally, Zach LaVine finally dunked on somebody. I've never seen him dunked on somebody. He dunked on Alex Len last month, and it was nice.
Damn time.
There's been, you know.
Was it as filthy as the one when Richard Jefferson almost ended Clay's career the other day?
No.
Because that was dunk of the year.
Because Richard Jefferson and Klay Thompson is almost the same height, and Klay Thompson's not a shot blocker, and Richard Jefferson's old ass just...
Right, but Richard Jefferson is like...
I didn't think he was going to make it.
Exactly, he's like 67 years old.
I was like, damn, what happened to Richard Jefferson? Which brings me to another point. There's a lot of talk about PEDs with a lot of the NBA right now. Do you think there's anything going on where we're talking about players like Vince Carter, Richard Jefferson, who is still getting up dunking on cats at 36, 37, at, you know.
But who was bringing this up? You know what?
Well, the thing I wanted to allude to this because Rip Hamilton just said there has to be a PED thing going on in the NBA. I'm like, damn, were you dry snitching? What's going on?
Right. That's what it sounded like to me. But at the same time, I don't think. The NBA has been so squeaky clean with things.
No.
For the most part. Nobody really suspects NBA players are doing shit. Like, if they're... Nobody's going to give a damn about this. Because I was going to say, if LeBron was on HGH, wouldn't nobody give a shit?
Well, there's always been that... Okay, so there was a report back in 2012, 2013 that LeBron was taking an age. Remember when LeBron lost a lot of weight? Like in one of the off seasons, I think his first championship year in 2012, he had lost like 20 pounds. And, you know, he said he was trying to, something about he wanted to save his knees. There was a report that he was taking a supplement down in Florida, Miami, Florida, an HGH that helped him lose his weight. There's also been reports when players go to like Germany and do those platelet treatment, you know, in their knees and all this other stuff. So it's like, we've played basketball in high school level or, you know, and we know, there's something going on, but it's too much money involved. And I think no one cares about it. That's the thing. Like the NFL, people care about it because the NFL is supposed to be looked at as these masculine men who who, you know, where crying isn't allowed. The NBA, crying is allowed, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if the NBA is at the point where if something like that happened, would nobody give a damn, man? Mm-hmm. Like, for real, would nobody care? Name somebody who's going to care.
No, that's the thing. Like, what if all these, like if I found out Jason Richardson, like, took HGH, I wouldn't care.
Wouldn't give a damn, dude.
I would give two shits. I wouldn't care.
He's still top five greatest warriors of all time. Top three. I might have even had him. Yeah. I had him number two in my book.
Yeah, he's number one for me.
Well, can't nobody surpass him. For me.
Yeah. I want to ask you, we were just talking about three-pointers, right? Who's going to be in the NBA three-point shootout contest this year since everybody is shooting threes? Like, what's the eligible requirement now? Hey, first person to shoot, the first eight contestants to make 300 threes can have a chance to enter the three-point shootout? Because before, you know, when we were growing up, like, let's say in the late 90s, when you had your NBA lives, we already knew who the shooters were. Tim Legler, Jeff Hornacek, Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, John Stockton. Who else am I missing? Detlef Schrempf, Dennis Scott, and who would be another one?
Nick Anderson. Dale Curry. Nate McMillan.
It was
some threats out there. Sam Cassell.
But now, it's like, who... It's obviously Steph and Clay.
Brooke Lopez.
You said that so convincingly, too.
To be honest, I think Steph and Clay, probably James Harden. I think Nick Young probably has the balls to try to enter.
Oh,
J.J. Redick.
Yeah, see, J.J. Redick, knockdown shooter.
I can see Bradley Beal thinking he's going to upgrade his brand. I want Ryan Anderson to enter, though.
Ryan Anderson, yeah. Oh, remember last year, Booker did pretty damn good in it. He almost beat Klay?
He should have went to the finals.
Yeah, that was
good. That he should have.
I love that strategy with the money ball, how you can make one whole rack your money ball rack. That is great strategy.
Bro, I thought that was awesome. I did. And then you could put it wherever you wanted, and then you had cats putting it in the corner. You had some on the wing, wherever your sweet spot is. Mm-hmm. I loved it, and they have to continue that from now on. I'm actually more excited about the three-point contest, even though I complain about everybody shooting, but that is structured. So I appreciate that aspect of it. But I look forward to that more than I think I look forward to the dunk contest.
I'm looking forward to the three-point shootout contest. Secondly, me and you always look forward to what trades are going to go across the screen.
Oh, yeah, so, trade deadline. Yes.
Yeah. The person that's leading the league in three-point percentage is Joe Ingles. I don't think he's going to enter it, though.
No, because you know what? The people who actually have a decent percentage, they don't shoot a whole lot like that.
Out of the top five leaders in three-point percentage right now, it's Joe Ingles, George Hill, Courtney Lee, Channing Frye, Marco Bellinelli. J.J. Redick's number six.
Oh, I'm on Basketball Reference. What are you on?
Yeah, I went to Yahoo, that's why.
I don't trust Yahoo with a goddamn thing. But on Basketball Reference, Joe Ingles, Courtney Lee, Channing Frye, Marco Bellinelli, J.J. Redick. And one thing I can say they all have in common, with maybe the exception of Courtney Lee, maybe, but from the percentage I can tell, they shoot it when they're open.
Yes.
And how I can tell what Courtney Lee is because Derrick Rose don't pass the ball, Carmelo don't pass the ball, Kristaps Porzingis does not pass the ball that often. So obviously when you get it, you must be wide open. And Bellinelli and J.J. Redick, their basketball IQ is pretty high, so they don't just go running, gunning all the time like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially J.J. J.J. has Chris Paul. He's going to shoot when he's open. They have to scream at him to shoot it sometimes.
Kyle Lowry and Jared Dudley might enter it. McCullough, I think CJ McCullough is going to enter it again. Bellinelli won it, I think, in 2014. So yeah.
I want somebody like Alan Crabb to walk in all cocky like.
Oh, man. We have to make a ugliest list of basketball players, and he's going on it.
I've been flirting with the idea.
Yeah. I got a few players who can. I mean, there's the obviously the Tyrone Hills, the Sam Cassells, the Anthony Masons. But, yeah, he goes on it definitely. Hey, it's 3:40.
10 more minutes should be cool.
Okay. Cool. Let's you have any NBA trade rumors real quick, then?
No.
I don't either. What's up with the Lions? What's your feelings with the Detroit Lions? No.
Well, first of all, the fact that they choked the game away against the Cowboys puts them in this crazy-ass position where they have to beat the Packers. And I believe I think it's the Giants that have to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure they'll beat the Packers. And to be honest, Matthew Stafford has had a hell of a year. I really like him now.
Right.
Getting to watch him up close, it's been pretty good. His decision-making, you know what? If nobody's open, he may run. He may throw it out of bounds. He rarely takes the sack like that often. He hasn't even thrown that many picks as the usual Matthew Stafford would try to do, trying to force things. He's been, you know, hey, if the running back is open, he's going to dump it off. That's what he's going to do. So they should win. The Packers have been inconsistent, but they've been all right the last couple of weeks. But I fully expect the Lions to win this Sunday. I really do.
What is the pulse in Detroit? Because these type of games are crazy. It's just like the Raiders.
Oh, people are already nervous as hell, man.
Okay, so if as a fan, do you say we've already played, we already made the playoffs, we play it safe because we don't want to risk injuries, or we're going for the division title?
Oh, they have to win. They have to win out. That's where they're at. They have to, or they're not in. No, it's that simple for them. They have to win, and I
thought
believe
that the same situation as the Raiders.
No, because they messed up last week.
That's right. Okay. Yeah,
they messed up last week, so they have to win. And I believe, don't quote me, but I believe the Giants have to lose.
Quoting this motherfucker. Fuck that. David Max Allen said the shits. That's my credit.
Oh, man, yeah, so, it's interesting, man. The post here, man, people are nervous as hell. That's all people are talking about. It's pretty cool, though, to see the people who are passionate and excited, you know?
And I say that with my Detroit versus everybody shirt on today. Detroit, what?
It is pretty cool, man. The passion here is similar to that of Raider fans, if not more. Like, people live and die here with their teams, and I love that. I always wanted to be somewhere where people are so diehard that it. Remember how growing up, if for me the Raiders or for you the Niners lost, it kind of messed your day up, or if the Warriors lost, like, you were kind of grumpy the next day? It's kind of like that.
Well, the Warriors, you would always lose, so these New Age fans don't know what that's like to be always grumpy, so.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why I say I can't wait till they're horrible again.
It's funny because.
Ooh, I can't wait.
It's funny because we used to look at, well, hey, at least they didn't get blown out. And did you see that Jason Caffey had 20 and 10? We used to go off of moral wins back then.
You had to go off of moral wins. You had to have something to keep your sanity. Otherwise, it was like, what's the purpose of even following this team, you know?
Like nigga, Jim Jackson just dunked on somebody. Yeah, but we got blown out by 37.
What do you know I'm going to try to hold out hope that Nick Van Axel just might be the answer.
God.
Washed up ass. Washed
Next
up
podcast.
John Starks. Washed up ass like Mookie Blaylock. Like, what are we talking about?
Next podcast, we should go through all the list of the Warriors players since 96 or the free agent, the transactions, and just laugh at it. Just go through it thoroughly.
I wouldn't mind that. That actually sounds like a good idea.
Because on my DVR, I have Magic Johnson's first game back in 96. And, of course, he played our Golden State Warriors. And I remember this was a dark day for Warriors. You had Chris Mullin, Tim Hardaway coming off the bench because Sprewell, because of you had Sprewell, you had Gatlin. Who else was the starters? You had like all these new young starters, and they were coming off the bench. And you know, that following year, well, that a few weeks later, Tim Hardaway got traded, and so did Tim Hardaway actually had knee problems. I remember that. He tore his ACL, right?
Either that or like a meniscus or something, but I think it was an ACL. But either way, they treated him like he wouldn't shit no more. So
exactly. Yeah, I remember that era. That was a dark fucking day.
Yeah, and it was pretty much a wrap. And then Mullen stayed for a little bit. And then,
he got
real dark after that. And miraculously, like so many other dumbass Warrior moves, every time they moved a star or a fan favorite, he continued to be great. While the person that you got in return or the person you decided to go pick up was trash.
I'm talking about you, Sarunas Marcellonis.
Oh, my God. Ronnie Cicely. So, Tim Hardaway went to go have a great career with the Heat. Chris Mullin had a great, you know, ending with the Pacers. They almost goddamn won it all.
He came back to us, I think, in 99 or 2000, but it wasn't the same.
It wasn't
the same.
It was like when Chris Webber came back.
Yeah, it was just, yeah.
Yeah, it was pointless.
I was like, who's that white guy with a cut-off basketball shirt that's playing with the white? That looks like Chris Mullin. It was one of those things. All right, man.
And thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Catch us on SoundCloud, Twitter, Instagram, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, of course, thecouchsports.com. And thank you for listening. Until next time, and enjoy episode 35. Peace.
Let's go!